Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you're listening to Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast.
Potty talk and there's potty time.
Ah, well, I knew it was too good to be true.
Potty time and potty talk.
How about potty training?
Let's find out. Potty training. Oh yeah. The podcast for dads. There's a couple of them. There's the potty report, the potty. Hey, everybody, welcome to Drilled Podcast. Me and Lowell are figuring out if some cool names for podcasts are taken. Turns out
they are.
They are.
And all their variations.
It's the thing, dude. I think not the Onion, Babylon Bee, the parody site, just had a fake headline that said some man, it was just a picture of this dude who was like, he's the last man on earth who doesn't have a podcast. Just an average looking dude. Last man on earth to not have his own podcast.
Did you see the new Ghostbusters yet?
No. Is it good?
Yes. There's a character in it named Podcast.
His name is Podcast?
Well, that's just what everyone calls him. But it's a great movie. Check it out.
That's hilarious. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Drill Podcast. Me and Lowell are hanging out again. Listen, we're going to have a guest, but we bumped those. Actually, we didn't bump the guest. No one wants to talk to me. That's the truth. The truth is I can't get anyone on the podcast. We'll get someone.
Hard out here for a pimp, man.
It is. But we did have an emergency session.
We did.
Because we had a TikTok go viral.
We on the TikTok come up, y'all.
Listen, okay. So back up. I recognize I'm a 40-year-old man who is on TikTok. I know what that sounds like. What that feels like. It feels icky. Okay. I'm gonna be honest. I don't like it, but listen, here's the information that's pertinent. TikTok is the number one social media platform in America. It went from number 7 to number 1 last year. And it is perfectly poised for all of our Halo content to get out as fast as possible to where we want. And that's why I have a consulting group that I work with Halo, with the Halo Dental Network, the charity that me and Lowell founded. And it was at their recommendation that I go on TikTok and start putting our content on TikTok. Lowell, for those who are hearing impaired, is signing this right now on our YouTube channel.
It's interpretive dance.
Oh,
but I do know sign language, so weirdly enough.
So anyway, I don't know. Can you screen share the TikTok, Lowell? Can you do that? Is that a thing you can do?
We can do this. You can play it from your phone. And I will cut it in because with the magic of editing.
Okay. I'm going to play it for you.
That wasn't really sign language, though. That was an interpretive dance. I was interpretive dancing everything Brady was saying.
Okay. I'm going to play you the TikTok. Listen, so I've been doing my instructions from my TikTok counselors were to be consistent. Don't worry about, like, you know, if it's 6 seconds long or a minute long. So just be authentic. Post things that you're doing at your office, things you're doing in your life. So that's what I'm doing. So I was scrolling through my phone and I found this old case. And it wasn't me that did it. I should be very clear. I talked to my partner tonight too, and I had to apologize to her because it was her case. So once it came through, it came through our office, but it was her case. And she actually, when you see the befores and afters, she was the one who was responsible for the composite resin that I think changed this guy's life. But Anyway, it was this video about this kid who came in with teeth. His two front teeth looked like molars. They had the appearance of molars.
It was really cool. The man looked like he was a cow.
It's I called it the dental unicorn on TikTok, and boy, did it take off. It's currently sitting at 4.2 million views.
Yay, TikTok.
614,000 likes, 4,000 comments. And we're going to go through some of the comments. People need to be put in their place. That's what
Let's play it. Let's play it. And we'll cut it in.
I'm gonna play
Those of you just listening, go to Dr. Brady's Instagram or Dr. Brady's TikTok, and you can see it there.
You saw what I'm about to show you? They would think you were a crazy person. They would think maybe you're on drugs or you were dreaming when you thought this up because it's so insane. But yet it exists. And now we have video proof. Behold, the dental unicorn. What is that, you ask? My, that looks like that person has molars instead of front teeth. Well, that's because this person has molars instead of front teeth. Did a witch cast a spell on him? I don't know. I was so excited when I saw this. I didn't want him to cover him up, but he'd been made fun of for a long time. So I was like, oh, shoot, that sucks. Limited budget, so we just did some composite stuff on the teeth around. But dude, molars for front teeth?
Okay, so that was it. And if you're just listening to the podcast version, you can go on YouTube and see this on YouTube too. Or you can go on TikTok and view the video for yourself. Anyways, a couple of things. A lot of people didn't think it was real. They thought I Photoshopped that crap, dude. So I had to do additional posts to post x-rays. I had to go digging through the archives to find the x-rays and post those so people believe us. So you can go find, I did some posts about the x-rays as well, also on TikTok. So for those who are listening who don't follow us on TikTok, hey, give us a follow on TikTok. We could use the help.
All I'm saying is our Instagram fans and our Facebook fans and our YouTube fans need to get with it because like the TikTok has eclipsed all of it. It has eclipsed it.
Cause now I haven't posted on Instagram cause I'm glued to freaking TikTok.
It's the future, dude. You know,
I had to have a
16 year old kid teach me how to use TikTok. Dude.
Yeah. I still am like, I have to Google like, how to add text, like how to do the thing where you point to the screen and a text thing pops up and you can time it to like pop up whenever, where you want and however you, anyway, it's this whole thing, dude. I like watch two or three YouTube videos a day on how to like edit YouTube, TikTok videos to do what I want to do. Still feel like I'm just scratching the surface. It's a very vast.
It's how you do it, dude. That's just how I learned how to do all the video editing stuff. I know, dude. I just got on YouTube and was like, how do you do this?
It's like GarageBand or Logic Pro for musicians out there. What's the one that starts with an A? Ablation or whatever it's called? Ableton.
Ableton's a little different, but
right.
Audacity is another one.
And it's just like, you just like learn how to do the basics, but like, oh man, if you knew 100% of all the functionality of these types of applications, dude, your brain would explode because it's too much. It's like our iPhones. Like I use like 5% of my iPhone's capability, right?
I don't. I push mine to the max. I've crashed like three computers in the past 2 years because I push them way too hard. In fact, the computer that I'm talking to you on, I actually just rebuilt today. It lives again.
Nice. Well, so why would a dentist who wants to promote his nonprofit go on TikTok as his primary method?
That was my question.
Why would I do that? Well, because of viral videos like this. So we get viral for a video. Now, that video didn't mention Halo. Here's the thing. We never know which videos are going to go viral. We don't know what happens. But I can tell you this. We got a lot of people interested in the Halo Dental Network, which is all I care about. And that's actually the whole reason for this podcast, to be quite honest, is just as a place to like talk about what we do with the Halo Dental Network and to help people out who need help.
I would say that this podcast is ground zero for Halo. It is right. Really ground zero. It's where the idea started as something smaller, and then things started sneaking in, and it just blossomed and blossomed and blossomed. And now here we are.
Yeah. Now maybe you're saying, man, Brady, this just seems like you just like attention. And
yes, the answer is he does.
You stole my punchline, dude. You stole my punchline. You knew where I was going and you went there for me. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, dude. I understand. I do love attention. That's a freaking fact, dude. But the thing is to use that for good and not use it for evil. Right. So that's what we're trying to do with TikTok. And there's a lot of good and evil everywhere on the internet. We're trying to make it for good. So am I happy? Yeah, I'm real happy. Do I hate the attention? Nope.
Not even a little bit. He's been floating on clouds the last couple of days.
Speaking of attention, here are my celebrity lookalikes as it pertains to the comments of TikTok. I got John Krasinski from The Office. I got Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, I see Chris Pratt.
I got John Krasinski and Chris Pratt mixed together, like a hybrid. If they had a butt baby together.
You have John Krasinski's like here down, and then like Chris Pratt's like here up.
I think my brother, my older brother. I'll tell you, if I showed you a picture of him,
I've seen a picture of him.
Oh, I don't know if the one I have three older brothers.
If it's the one I'm thinking of,
not the one who came here from Arizona, the one in Seattle.
Brian.
Not Brian.
I thought he looked a little Krasinski-esque.
Yeah, if John Krasinski had Down syndrome.
Oh, that's the wrong one then. I'm trying to remember your other.
That was rude. Sorry, Brian. I don't think he's listening.
I used to have a running joke where I'd be like, damn it, Brian. Right.
I got, hold on. I'm going to actually look this up because there were some. Can you seriously not screen share, lol?
I can't really do too much from TikTok on my computer.
No, like just internet. Can you Google people's names and pull it up?
Yeah,
I can screen share. Okay, hold on. I got John Hamm. A lot of John Hamm, and I've never got that before, ever. You know who John Hamm is?
I know John Hamm. He's like Mad Men, right?
Mad Men. Don Draper. Don Draper from Mad Men. I ain't mad about that. Okay. So then I got Andrew Santino, comic. Can you pull these pictures up, dude?
I'm doing my best here. I can cut them in too. So let's just go. Let's just go. And I can do some post-production that will make this all magical.
Well, there's so many that I'm kind of like.
Rattle them off.
So Andrew Santino, who's a comic and he's a ginger comic.
Boo.
He was also on the show. He plays Little Dickie's manager on the show Dave about Little Dickie. Stephen Root. Stephen Root was the guy who was talking about his stapler on Office Space. And you have my stapler?
He was in Book of Boba Fett too, actually, weirdly enough.
Probably. He's in a thousand things. He's in a lot of things, Stephen Root. And I saw a little bit. Josh Allen, I think it's a football player. Is that a quarterback?
I'm not a football guy, but it sounds quarterbacky.
Wes Bentley, don't know who that is. Hugh Jackman, I don't see that at all.
You're not Weasley looking enough to be Hugh Jackman. He's kind of got like a Weasley kind of thing going on.
A lot of hybrids. A lot of people who think if John Hamm had a baby with John Krasinski, or Chris Pratt and John Krasinski, or John Hamm and somebody.
I used to get when I was younger in like my 20s, everyone said I looked like Jack White. And because I was really really thin and had the nose and the eyes, and I was really pale and I had black curly hair.
Oh, okay.
And then I kind of turned into Jack Black.
I see that. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to talk about who we look like. Joey from Full House, Uncle Joey. A little bit of Bryan Cranston, Brad Womack. I don't even know who Brad Womack is.
Joey from Blossom.
Whoa. I got sounds like Jason Bateman. I got a lot of sounds like too. People said I sound like Ryan Reynolds from Deadpool.
I would say that. Jason Bateman, yes. You do share like similar speech patterns with Jason Bateman.
A lot of John Hamms, dude. A lot of John Hamms. I'm scrolling. And then John Hamm, and then someone else said, no, he looks like that dude from Mad Men, which is John Hamm.
I'd say Chris Pratt because you guys, I think you guys have the same hairdo guy.
Chris Hemsworth. Don't mind that. Not mad about that. Mixed with a mixed with a hint of Patrick Swayze. Nah, he looks like the dude that played Two-Face in The Dark Knight. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Aaron Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart. I knew that one.
I actually like him. I've seen him in a lot of movies. Like Thank You for Smoking. He was really good in that one. I've seen him in Battlefield Los Angeles was really good.
Yeah, I think he's great. You know, he used to be that. Here's a funny story about Aaron Eckhart. Aaron Eckhart used to be Mormon.
That don't surprise me. He looks there.
He went on a mission, I think, to France or something like that, if I remember right. He used to be in these Mormon produced PSAs. There's one. Oh, it probably embarrasses him. And it's these old movies are kind of embarrassing for everybody. But it's one where I don't know, it's a husband and wife, and he plays the husband, these newly married couple, and they're struggling with their marriage in some way. I don't remember, but it's Aaron Eckhart. He plays that. He used to be Mormon.
I just signed up for a channel on Amazon TV. One of my favorite weird pastimes is low to high budget Bible, like Christian funded Bible movies. I love them. I can't get enough of them.
I could see you
being like Left Behind. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Lewis Gossett Jr. and Left Behind 2, like whatever it was called.
Yeah.
But there's like, I was going to scrolling through that channel and I was just looking and man, like Eric Roberts does a lot of those movies. I mean, it was just like a litany of these guys. I mean, Nicolas Cage did one.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, I was looking at it. It was like a lot of name. People I knew that, like, but Nicolas Cage would be in anything. I mean, give me a break, dude. That guy would be in any movie you ever signed him. I think his goal in life is to be in every movie ever.
Every movie he's ever been in is the best movie ever. I started to lose respect for the Oscars when he was snubbed for his appearance in Kick-Ass. Okay? That was a performance. If I've ever
seen
one.
No, it was really good, but
I'm not even, I look in my eyes. I'm not joking. That is an epic performance. And it's one of my, it is my favorite Nicolas Cage performance. Also, National Treasure is a national treasure.
What was that joke? It has the staples of a classic Nicolas Cage film where all the dialogue is either whispered or screamed and everything's on fire.
That Con Air. Ooh, Con Air was beautiful.
The mullet in Con Air was beyond epic.
I mean, it's just like you can't even trust the Oscars when they see something like that and they don't give that a nod. It's just like impossible.
Michael Bay movies. I mean, you know, you get what you pay for with a exactly Michael Bay right. movie, you know. Don't exactly expect right. a bunch of deep
preach.
You know, like deep subtext, you know, like you're gonna get what you pay for. And
preach, yeah.
It's like John Carpenter movies. You get what you pay for. Though that dude does get deep. That dude will get like real deep on some stuff. But
so let me tell you some comments on the TikToks that I didn't appreciate.
Uh-oh.
One in particular, and I blocked this person because he said, ain't no way that hairline's real. I didn't like that one bit. So I said, ain't no way you're real. Blocked. Deleted, gone. You're out of here.
No, I did notice though, like I watched last night. Sometimes I wake up like ridiculously early in the morning. And wow. Especially since with Halo stuff, a lot of like the stuff I had to take care of was East Coast time. So I just get up super early, knock it out in the morning. But and then I'm just kind of sitting there like twiddling my thumbs, like, what do I do? So I watched Tomorrow War last night. And I was noticing that you and Chris Pratt have the same hairline. Like literally, like, and the thing is I remember him back in like Parks and Rec, dude. That thing was not straight. It was like, I'm telling you, I was like,
interesting.
I started sniffing around, and it's a great movie though. Tomorrow War, Get it. Watch it.
Anyway, one comment out of the 4,000 that I saw. So that'll, it's fine. Whatever. Okay. So anyways, I am like super stoked because I do believe that TikTok will help us unlock our major goal of global domination of the globe, bringing dental treatment to people who need dental treatment, want dental treatment. And yeah, we had an amazing Zoom call today with a dentist named Lance Timmerman, who was taking on a case. Some people listening might know who Lance is. He runs a podcast called the Working Interferences Podcast with Josh Austin, which I think is the best dental podcast.
He does too.
Yeah. He was, I gave him this compliment today when I was talking to him. And, I said, I think your podcast is even better than mine. And he goes, well, yeah.
Just burned him to the ground.
He's right though. I can't fault him for that. Anyway, their podcast is even more irreverent than our podcast, lol, if you can believe that. They're fantastic. Great guys.
Oh, we go through phases. Sometimes it gets really zany. And sometimes it's really serious.
I just have this, I am endeared towards dentists who like to go out of their way to like do stuff like this. Cause it's not every dentist, but it is a lot of dentists. It is a lot. And that's kind of our mission, is to go out there and find them. And so that's why it's kind of exciting to find these dentists. And Lance has participated in a lot of dental charities. So I'm excited to work with him on Halo to try to make Halo as awesome as possible. But really excited to meet the person that he chose, because her story seems awesome. And I'll not give away any more than that.
It's really good though. It's touching. It's like when I was putting together, pulling nominations and reading through them, it's definitely one that caught my attention. Like when I read
all it. I know, I'll share this because I'm gonna spoil a little bit. All I know is when I see her profession, all I can hear is Launch Ladyland, hoagies and grinders, navy beans, meatloaf sandwich.
I bet you wore that CD out, dude.
They're All Gonna Laugh at You by Adam Sandler. Back in the day, they put comedy albums out, right? Like there were comedy albums. You'd buy comedy albums.
Yeah, I love comedy albums.
Dude, Adam Sandler's They're All Gonna Laugh at You had some super inappropriate songs, and I loved it.
I got a copy of Eddie Murphy Raw. You want to talk about inappropriate, too?
Yeah, but that's stand-up. This is like sketches and songs, and it's super interesting. Now that I mention it, I'm going to go back and listen to it because I wonder if it holds. I wonder if it's on iTunes. Hold on.
It's on iTunes.
Let's give that a goog.
I used to listen to Stephen Lynch. Did you ever listen to Stephen Lynch? He was a stand-up comedian that just did funny songs.
Yeah. Was he Dr. Demento? Same guy? No, Stephen did the, what's the Ice Cube, Igloo, Eskimo.
Oh,
The Only Gay Eskimo.
Yeah.
I'm the only gay Eskimo.
Yeah.
In my tribe.
Or like.
Is that Stephen Lynch? Only Gay Eskimo?
I think that's Stephen Lynch. Yeah. Or John LaJoy. Like, you remember that guy?
No, I don't know that one.
Yeah. Another comedian that did like musical comedy that was really good. He did like Guns Don't Kill People. I Kill People.
Oh, They're All Gonna Laugh at You. It is available on iTunes. That's amazing. That's amazing, dude. Okay, we gotta cut this short so I can go listen to this Adam Sandler. I just like to see if it holds up. I think it would, possibly. I'm not sure. Second thing. Okay, so yeah, we're on TikTok. We're pretty excited about it. It's still going, and I thought it was dying down. It started to die down at like 2.8 million, and then it caught like a second wind, and now it's like freaking shooting up again. It zoomed past 4 million. It's just ridiculous. I'm inclined to believe everything is fake. You know, I'm inclined to believe that it's all fake views. I don't know, but there's lots of engagement, man. So it's kind of like weird. It's kind of hard to think that because there's
you got hundreds of thousands of likes and stuff. It's real. I mean, this is real.
I mean, it seems like it is. It just, So we're super excited about that. Other news, let's go to current events because there's some things going on, man.
There's some things going on.
Hot debates on Facebook and the such and the Twitters.
Facebook's been spicy lately. Like Facebook and Instagram have been really spicy of late.
Well, the Hate Inc. bots are out doing their job, making everybody get mad at each other. It's interesting because you see everyone out there like clamoring for Rogan to get shut down. And then
I'm not. I love Rogan.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, we're best friends. So it's
he's the man, dude. Like, and I love how fearless he is. It's like the last Dave Chappelle special. He's fearless. He's fearless of cancel culture. Do I agree with him all the time? No, absolutely not. But I love the fact that the dude will just speak his mind unabated, unfearless. I love that.
What do you make of the Neil Young ultimatum? That comes out of left field for me because I'm just like, I don't know. What do you make of that?
I just kind of file that under who cares of the memory warehouse.
Like, are you a Neil Young fan? Would you say? Not really?
No.
Oh, I like Neil Young a lot. I like
I listen to some pretty cool old school stuff, but like just never Neil Young never really resonated with me. Another band that never really resonated with me very much is the Beatles. I don't dislike the Beatles, they just never resonated with me because when I was growing up, we were listening like AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Garth Brooks was my dad went country like one weekend I went to my mom's. And like I came back and all of a sudden my dad was a cowboy and we had horses, like literally, like it was like I came back the next week and it was all of a sudden the AC/DC was gone, the Zeppelin was gone, and it was like Garth Brooks and like Clint Black and what Trace Atkins and all these other dudes, but like this never got into Neil Young, man. I mean, I had a guitar teacher once trying to force us all to play like A Horse with No Name. That's Neil Young, right? No, maybe not.
No. Horse with No Name is not Neil Young.
Well, I don't know. I got
confused. It's not Neil Young. No. Neil Young is like, well, the album Harvest Moon was one of my favorite albums, but like Keep on Rocking in the Free World.
I know that one.
Cinnamon Girl, Southern Man is the popular one.
Southern Man don't need him round anyhow. You know
what I mean? And then there was the Ohio song with Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young when he was part of Crosby, Stills and Nash, the Four Dead in Ohio. So he's like always been known for like, here's the thing. He's been known for like, you know, standing up to the man. But Joe Rogan isn't the man.
I think Rogan's the wrong target, man.
Right.
Like, yeah. He's got some interesting views on vaccination, but this is, you know, and
they're not even his view. He's pro-vax, dude. That's the thing. He brings people on who question it. It's like the people who don't know Joe Rogan or don't listen to Joe Rogan's podcast are the people who hate him, want him canceled the most.
They take things out of context. The internet today, they'll put a snippet of him saying something crazy, but not realize if you listen to the whole conversation, what he's saying is not crazy at all. He's just alliterating a point. And they'll just take that little clip and with no context and drop it.
Yeah, but Neil Young was always like against like the man. But it's like the man is like Joe Biden. The man is Anthony Fauci. The man is Gavin Newsom. That's the man. Joe Rogan isn't the man. That's not, I feel like School of Rock. It's like, how are you taking it to the man? By going up against Joe Rogan, like
Joe Rogan's the people's man.
You got the wrong man, bro. Like you're not standing up to the man. You are the man. Like you just became the man, dude.
I think there's subtext that's not, you don't see on the surface. One of the things in the musician community, especially anyone that does music publishing, this guy, Spotify pays barely anything to the musicians that post on there. So there's always been contention with Spotify, like Tay-Tay, sweet Tay-Tay. Bounced her music off Spotify long ago. She eventually came back, but she was just getting no royalties. And that's Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she pulled her music off Spotify and eventually put it back on. But there was
how you lovingly refer to her as Sweet Tay Tay.
I love Taylor Swift, dude. Don't even get me started. I love chalky pop music. It's my jam. Like, you know this, but like some people listening might not think I'm a cool guy. That's like a, some sort of hipster bro that doesn't listen to anything but like the Killers and like the Wood Brothers and stuff. You know what I mean?
Listen, there's two words, two things I would say to describe you: metal and rainbows.
Yeah. Death and rainbows, bro.
Death and rainbow right behind you. Yeah. That's your thing, dude. I love it. I love that. I love your style. Howard Stern, kind of the same ballpark, you know, he was like a rebel, like always sticking to the man coming up in radio and got in trouble, you know, for like censors, like coming up against people who wanted to censor him and shut him down. And he's come out and said very similar things to Neil Young, where it's like, you want to censor Joe Rogan. I just feel like you might be jealous that Rogan like took his spot as the king of like talk. I know it's not talk radio, but it's still like talk show style, like one of the best interviewers of all time. I mean, Howard Stern is to me one of the best interviewers of all time.
But you got to remember too, like he does not nearly cut nearly as deep as Rogan does in an interview.
Rogan can talk to people for 3 hours,
and that's awesome. And the thing is you can listen to them talk for 3 hours and you don't get bored. That's the key. Yeah. That is like the magic number. And then like Howard Stern's very shocky. He's always like digging and trying to find the shocking facts and the gotcha moments and all this other stuff, where like Rogan has like this authenticity. He's genuinely interested in what you have to say, because he actually, instead of like Howard Stern, who'll just do a quip here and there, like when you say something, he'll make a smart ass remark. Like Joe Rogan actually thinks about it. He internalizes it and he actually gives his opinion, and they have discourse back and forth, which is what makes it interesting.
Dude, you're totally right. I'll tell you, there are three, and to like address the idea that he's some kind of right wing nut job, there are three people who were Democratic candidates for president that I personally changed my opinion about after seeing them on Rogan: Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard, and Andrew Yang. All were people that, until I saw their appearances on Rogan, which was like, you know, 2.5, 3.5 hours of a just a genuine, civil, interesting conversation, I thought I knew who they were, and I didn't, because all I had was 3-minute clips from a candidate stage, you know. So it's like, well, it's so strange that like he actually gives platforms to like people of all ideologies and political affiliations, right? And it actually, for people who are logical and want to think and want to understand people, you know, you learn stuff. Like, I like Bernie Sanders. I wouldn't vote for him, but I disagree with him a lot of things. But I do think he's a genuine person. I do think he believes in what he's saying. I do think he's a genuine person who is a person of strong conviction. And I got that from listening to him on Rogan, of all places. So it's just this weird target that he got on his back. I think when you're the big guy, dude, you just get it. Just that's the cost to be the boss, man. There's always someone trying to take the throne, man. It's
when you're on the mountaintop, little doggies are coming up to take bites out of you all the time because you're top dog. It's just the nature of the beast.
It's literally Game of Thrones. As soon as you get the throne, you got to find out who's trying to take it from you.
Apparently, right? It's Neil Young.
Yeah, and Rogan is the guy who didn't want the throne, didn't try to get the throne, but he got it. And apparently, yeah, Neil Young and Joni Mitchell are trying to overthrow him. That's a hoot.
Well, I heard like that the one deficit, the bad part about that is I haven't confirmed it, but I did read a couple articles about like Spotify stock prices.
Are they dropping?
Yeah, like going down.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to zoom out and see the whole picture, and not measure things in weeks and months instead of days. You get a better picture.
Well, the only reason I have Spotify, dude, is Joe Rogan.
Me too. Exactly right. That's I wouldn't it. Ask, but it's a terrible.
I hate it.
It's terribly not user friendly when it comes to like just a music platform. I'll give you an example. There is some music on Spotify that's hard to find. So, for example, my band, I don't know if I've mentioned that I'm in a band, but I am. And
I went and saw them play. Maybe I'll hang on. cut right here, and I'm going to slip in the little video that I took of you playing on Saturday night right now.
Boom.
Watch it. Enjoy. Continue.
Wasn't that amazing, everybody? That video of me? Wasn't that amazing? Didn't I do such a good job? Thanks for taking that video, Lowell.
Yeah, you were.
Anyways, my lead singer got to choose a song. He chose a song called One Day by Common Kings, which is like a reggae band. But he chose a very specific live version, which is like done up. It's logistically kind of a more difficult version of the same song. Anyway, it's only on Spotify. I couldn't find it on iTunes. So I had to use it on Spotify, but it's like you download something, you click on it, then it makes a playlist that it shuffles through to hit the song. And I can't rewind the song, so I can't listen to it over and over again to learn the song, which is how I do it. And it's super annoying. So I found it on YouTube, luckily. And YouTube Music had it, so I abandoned that. But Spotify sucks, dude. And if it wasn't for Rogan, I literally would have no reason to have it. And
it's the only reason I have it. I have I use YouTube Music because I was a Google Play guy.
Yeah.
And Google Play turned into YouTube Music. And you know what? It's basic, but it's easy to navigate. It does create really cool playlists, which I'm always into because that's how I discover new music. I'm not one of those dudes that got over 30 and just quit listening to music. You know, like it's just your old bands. I just noticed that a lot of older dudes, like they won't check out new things because they're kind of locked in their ways. But that's how I do it. I just put on a playlist and it'll start shuffling through things I like. And then I'll hear a lot of new, really new cool music.
Totally.
That I didn't know existed. Of course, I love pop music. Like Miley Cyrus Bangers album is insane. I love that.
Miley Cyrus does have some bangers. That's for sure.
She just got hella sued too. So like,
did she? For what?
Yeah, for I Can't Stop. There's a Caribbean reggae band that's saying that she lifted that from them.
I do like that song.
I do like that song too.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Because of years and years of making music using the same four chords, there is going to be
overlap.
A lot of there's going to be some overlap in songs that sound very similar. And that is happening more and more because, you know, it's just the same four chords. You can only have so many melodies before it all starts to, and rhythm before you start to make things sound the same. Anyways. So that was, and then I really liked Joe Rogan's response. Did you listen to his like little 9-minute, he put a video on Instagram.
I have not listened to his response to that because I read a little write-up on it, but like I haven't listened to the video.
I think he actually released it on his podcast too. It was like a 9-minute thing and he released it on his podcast. And I watched it on Instagram, just him in front of like in his front yard holding a phone and talking about the content. But anyway, it's like he's too reasonable to cancel. Like he's just too reasonable.
Shares he makes this really too much sense.
It's just, you can't, you just can't. I'm sorry. Uncancelable. And he's just, you know, I mean, the reason why people like listen to him, like there's a reason why that's so attractive, but it's just Game of Thrones, man. It's just, he's there at the top. He is dwarfing all the major networks in viewership and people are going to take shots at the king, man. So that's what it's all about, man.
Hail to the king, baby.
And I think Neil Young is just like a pawn in all that. You know, he's just like, I don't think he's the one orchestrating it, but it's just like he's like working to accomplish the goals of these elites that want the throne, man. And Rogan's got the throne and people listen to Rogan. And because they listen to Rogan, they, you know, begin to think for themselves and get exposed to ideas that are different than the mainstream narratives. And that's why I can tell you with 100% fact that we did not land on the moon. It never happened.
I knew it. I knew the moon landing was going to come up.
Never.
As soon as you started getting conspiracy-esque, I knew the moon landing was going to...
I'll tell you this. Joe Rogan does believe in the moon landing. There was a period of time where he questioned it for quite some time. And I'm very sad that he went back to believing that it happened. I continue to maintain ain't no human feet ever been on that moon. Never happened. All right. Listen, this is a perfect segue into another very similar situation because then there was a member of like a very left-leaning public figure in Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopsie.
Real name, by the way, is Karen. Did you know that?
It makes
sense. You know her real name is Karen. It's with a C.
You just better watch your mouth about Whoopi Goldberg. That's all I have to say. I love Whoopi Goldberg.
You love some Whoopi.
Yeah, I do. I do. Whoopsie Daisy, man. Like that's what I say. I watched Sister Act not 2 days, like 3 days ago. I watched Sister Act, and it was amazing.
You want to know a secret about me? Never seen Sister Act. What? Do I need to watch it? Is it that good?
It's amazing.
Okay.
Dude, all she's right. And like Guinan in Star Trek. She's one of my favorite Star Trek characters.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember her. She was in Ghost, right? She was the psychic in Ghost.
We don't talk about Ghost.
We don't talk about it. Okay. Fine. But anyway, she said, you know, certainly some terrible things.
Some unfortunate remarks for sure.
But, well, we should say what she said. She said that the Holocaust was not a racial issue. Anytime anyone's like squaring off to sound off about the Holocaust, you should probably just
take a step back and take a breath. Just be like, count to 10.
I don't need to talk about this. I don't need to say anything about this. However you feel about it. Anyway, she went in, she kind of doubled down on this later, but she eventually apologized. But she said that it wasn't a racial issue because it was white people oppressing other white people, which is terribly hurtful and ignorant and terrible. And that it was somehow an ethnic thing. It was about ethnicity and not race. And that it couldn't be, it wasn't, basically saying it wasn't racist. And under the current definition, which the current definition of racism does seem to be changing, a lot of people believe racism can only exist if it's done from a position of power, and that power is required for something to be racist, meaning that you would have to be in a race that is predominant in that culture to be someone who is a racist, meaning essentially in the United States, only white people can be racist. It's kind of what she was saying. And a lot that is a ever evolving definition of racism, which is
I've definitely seen some things leaning that way, especially during the Portland riots. Like you'd see a lot of very strange monikers and shirts and stuff that were very much illustrated that
well, a lot of people believe that you can't you just can't be racist if you're a person of color, if you're in a minority, that can't apply to you. And so I think she was using that type of definition to make a point that's not really racism in the way that she understands it. But obviously there's a whole heck of a lot of people who feel very differently.
That's the Holocaust is not the hill you want to die on. You know what I mean? Like
no, not today, Whoopi. Not today, Whoopi.
Yeah. Just don't, I mean, this is the thing. And then when she like initially the whole comment stemmed back to the fact they were banning Moss, that book Moss in schools.
Yes, the MAUS.
That's a trend that's disturbing to me because it's like I get that part of it. That it's disturbing, like, you know, Animal Farm, you know, they're not Catcher in the Rye. They're not like a lot of these books. Like, okay, maybe Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. I can see that one was basically, maybe I can be okay with that. But the fact that you're erasing, taking these out, and you're like trying to wipe this history slate clean. Mm-hmm. Those who don't learn from History Channel are doomed to repeat History Channel.
Oh yeah, we see that, dude.
Yeah. So why would you, I mean, you can't pull all the stuff about the Holocaust. It's people should know about the Holocaust. They should learn about that because that's how you keep atrocities from that happening. Yes, I said it, atrocities from happening again, is you inform people about them and you know, otherwise history is just going to cycle right back. That's not the first like racial genocide in the last like 400 years. There's been plenty of them. And the more we learn, the less it's likely to happen.
But what I see, and it bothers me, is that you see, I feel like there's some hypocrisy on the right with like right-wing people. And I'll give you some names: Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Matt Walsh.
I knew Ben Shapiro was going to be in there.
who saying basically she should be fired. And I got, you know, they look at their tweets and they tweet that she should be fired. And what they're saying is that they should be, she should be fired because of this. Like, they're setting the expectations that they can't follow. So by their own definition, like by their rules, they should be fired. I think all these people like on the right basically, you know, oppose cancel culture, but also start yelling for her to be fired when she says this. Anyway, I don't know the right answer, but I did like a tweet from a journalist that I like a lot named Glenn Greenwald. That might be a name that some people are familiar with, but he had a tweet that I really liked. I'm going to read it. It says, "I love when liberals end up caught up in the persecution framework they impose on everyone else, then suddenly start urging more empathy, compassion, context, and forgiveness. Whoopi Goldberg does deserve to have her comments put in the context of her life. So does everyone else. You can see Whoopi genuinely confused, hurt, and indignant when talking to Stephen Colbert." She did an appearance on the Colbert Show. "Angry that someone would accuse her of being an anti-Semite. This is not me," she insists. "Does she and her like-minded comrades ever extend that same consideration to those that they routinely vilify?" That's a really good question, man. Because the whole show, The View, seems like that's all that show is about, is like, who are we target? Like, who's on the chopping block now, man? And it was just days ago that these women were included in the people calling for the censorship of Joe Rogan on Spotify. And I'm guaranteeing you, they've never listened to an episode of Joe Rogan. Never. They're just jumping on that bandwagon, like you were saying, man.
That's the archetypical reaction these days. And the thing is people don't like cancel culture until it's convenient for them. And they're opportune. They're like sharks. They're just swimming around. Everyone's a shark. And we're all just waiting for an opportunistic meal. And that's what bothers me about it. That's why a lot of times, dude, I like unplug from a lot of stuff. I stay in just informed enough to be dangerous, but I do not get too wrapped up in like what the new causes are, because there's just so many of them. It's so hard to navigate this stuff. I'm just kind of got nose to the grindstone. This, I got my view of like what I'm more worried about what I'm doing than what everyone else thinks. That's really all that's where I'm at. I got a goal. I got a couple of goals. I got one big one. I'm running for it as hard as I can. And that's just basically everything else can just, you know, F off at this point. I am running towards it and I'm not going to get wrapped up on what a bunch of people think.
Watch your letters, dude.
You like my harsh letters. You like my harsh
letters? Watch your letters, man. This is a kid's show. This is a family friendly podcast. Here's a solution. I have one. I thought of one. Tell me if you like it. You don't fire Whoopi Goldberg. You make her listen. If you lose your temper in public, you may have to go to anger management classes. If you get too many DUIs, you get court mandated to go to AA meetings, right? If you say something incredibly offensive, I think the next five shows on The View should be about the Holocaust and bring on Holocaust survivors and children of Holocaust survivors and people who know about that, who were there present, who can talk about that. But and, you know, they'll never do that because these are not people who are like Joe Rogan who want to engage in deep conversation. These are people who want to make pithy comments that are able to be converted into sensational headlines. That's what I think about Whoopi Goldberg. Also, I truly believe that you should give idiots the microphone. Like if they're like, just give the idiot the microphone.
Let them have enough rope. Just let them have enough rope to hang themselves.
She's obviously ignorant, and what she said was disgusting. And I don't see a whole lot of people agreeing with her. That's for sure.
This is how I see it, dude. Like there's weird parallels with today's world, and say Germany sounds like 1939. Hitler came on the scene and was not a conservative figure. He was actually he was progressive. And the thing was, is like, he comes on the scene, he's super progressive. He's preaching change, he's preaching Germany's going to get back on their feet. And it's just like, but what's the, like, and as soon as he starts to instill that power, obviously he vilifies Jewish people to like, unite a very disenfranchised, very destitute German populace. But what does he start doing when he does that? Starts pulling books, starts burning books, starts denying knowledge and history. He doesn't want people to know the history of things, because if they know the history of things, they challenge things. I just see really dark parallels right now where people are pulling books out of schools that are talking about like historical atrocities, events, or whatever. But if they don't paint in there, it doesn't get painted well in the line of their like propaganda or whatever they're preaching at the time. They just want to wash it away. And that's not good, man. That's like, you know, you see these parallels and it really bugs me. I watch too much History Channel.
Well, I think it's this. Here's the thing. And the way so I'm naturally a little more conservative. I'm not a member of the Republican Party, and I haven't voted for a Republican president for a very long time. Since Mitt Romney was the last.
Republican. Oh yeah. I knew you were on that train.
Oh, Mitt forever. Mitt, I'm sorry, dude. I don't care who you are. Mitt's the one that got away. Mitt, for those Democrats out there and left-leaning people, most left people like Mitt Romney now because he was singularly opposed to Donald Trump. That's why they call him a rhino, the Republican in name only. Anyways, I'm a little conservative, but what I don't like about what I see conservatives doing is basically the same thing that they abhor. And in their excuses, well, you have to like go down to their level to battle it. Like, they're not going to stop calling for cancel, so you're just going to turn that on them. It's like if I see my kids hitting each other and I decide to solve that by hitting them, so they realize that we're just going to, and so now we're just a family who hits each other, and all you learn to do is hit harder. That's all you learn to do, because that's the only way you survive. You got to hit harder. And the person who hits the hardest is going to win. So you're just going to train yourself up to hit as hard as you can.
Sound like my father.
Dude, I have three older brothers. I know how that story ends, man. I know what happens. But that's what it's like. It's like saying we got to hit each. It's like if you had someone drilling a hole in the bottom of your boat, and the captain was like, "Well, you're going to feel really stupid when we're all dead at the bottom of the ocean, aren't you?" And Ben Shapiro even had a tweet where he called it mutually assured destruction. And so he said, let's fire Whoopi Goldberg. And I was like, oh, that's a terrible take, man. It's a terrible take. It's a bad, it's just, no, there has to be education. And I think if we learn one thing from Joe Rogan, it's that discussion is super helpful. Like having long form discussion helps you understand the nuance of these issues instead of trying to make it. Our biggest mistake I think we make is trying to make things so simple, right? You make things so simple, it's just like it's hard to, you just easily, we want to easily vilify someone, and that's just makes it easy to hate someone. So it's harder if you can talk to them for 3 hours.
In my 38 years, like, this is what life has taught me, that there is no such thing as black and white. The entire world is gray. And you just, you got to just kind of like use your own built-in moral barometer to kind of navigate these issues. There's no like complete and absolute, you know, right and wrong. I mean, because somebody's super wrong could be somebody else's, you know, super right. You just got to kind of, you just got to like relax. Like, everyone needs to relax is basically
what everyone does need to relax. That's true. And we just gotta stop looking for enemies, man. Anyways, okay, so anyway, these are the hot issues of the day, and me and Lowell have solved it once again.
World peace achieved.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why they don't just put me and you in charge of everything. I think we would do a good job.
I don't think I would.
No, we would do a good job.
Yeah, because he kind of like, I'm kind of like, we're definitely yin and yang. Like,
yeah, balance. You know, yeah, get that balance thing.
We're definitely yin and yang. So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this has been fun. What's our time at? How long have we been talking?
Almost an hour. Almost an hour, yeah.
Ooh, right on. Oh, Blazers lost. I got a notification on my phone. Blazers freaking suck this year. I hate it. Okay. I'm going to go cry myself to sleep. This has been a fun podcast. Go follow us on TikTok. Join in the dental hysteria with us. We would appreciate that. Anything else we want to show people, talk to people?
Take the carrot and check out HaloDentalNetwork.org. And See what that's all about.
Care it and share it.
Yeah, care it and share it.
That's right. Care it and share it. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining in. Appreciate that. Join us next week. We'll have another episode. Take it easy.
Peace.